Welcome to this lazy, hazy day of summer. Well, close to summer. And it's a good day to sit back in the hammock, maybe with a little lemonade, and get the phone over there next to you and give us a call at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. Why would you call us? Well, you've been having problems with your computer or something that just got you confused. We've got a whole bunch of people here in the studio dying to answer those questions for you. Give us a call. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, hour number two, and that is the hour that is yours. And that means that we don't sit here in silence until you call, but our phone lines are open right now, and we're waiting for your phone call with your question about the, whatever, your computer. It might be about your phone, like getting your email or not getting your email, whatever it may be that's going on with you. We'd love to be able to step in if we can and give you a hand. The number is 800-859-0957. Please don't be bashful. Matter of fact, you may have just kind of bumped into us here and wonder what in the world is going on. And basically what it is for the last 18 years plus, Gary Baker and I and our tech experts, Ed Riddell and Cal Carson in studio here with us, have been helping people solve problems with their computers and getting them on the internet and around it and getting over problems they encounter there. So the way of getting hold of us is 800-859-0957.
That sounds so cool. I never knew I was a tech expert. I'm really excited about whole thing.
Don't blow it.
But you know something? Folks need to call in. We're here to help, and as scary as that line may sound, but we're actually here to help. We're here to share. Ed is a wealth of technology when it comes to the Windows interface there. Gary is a wealth of technology with social media in some cases. He's our resident LinkedIn expert as it stands right now. And I'm just kind of here just to be a wealth.
Oh, you're the bad apple. Oh, no, you're the Apple connection here as well. Yeah. So we have all sorts of bases. Matter of fact, Ed, you have done work with Linux as well.
Well, I've installed it, and I use it, and it hasn't been infected yet. You know, so I used it on computers that were running Vista, and or someone gave me a laptop, and I didn't have a valid Windows license.
Yeah.
So I install Linux on there, and then I'll give the laptop away because I have enough darn computers at home. and I'll give it to a friend or someone. Yeah.
So this is a great alternative operating system that works on machines. Doesn't cost anything because it's open source, correct?
Right.
And as far as for an office suite of such, do you use something like OpenOffice with that?
Well, if I most of them come with Libra on there, Libra. I think Libra version of Office, which seems to be very compatible, similar or if not the same Office interface. Of course, it doesn't provide you the cloud capability mm-hmm. that Office 365 does, but it's a nice alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get Ubuntu, or you can get the one that I use, which is Linux Mint, I believe, M-I-N-T. Mm-hmm. And you can download it to install on a flash drive or a DVD.
Oh.
And so you can boot your computer up if it's completely failed from the flash drive, and it'll install alongside your existing version of Windows, so you can try before you buy, you know.
Nice.
So you could still have your Windows XP or Windows Vista system, and it'll run alongside with it. It's like a dual boot system. And then once you're set, you're like, okay, I found everything I need to. I migrated all my data. I'm ready to get ready, you know, free up that space.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, what are there any? And so the pros are that it looks a lot and handles a lot like Windows.
Well, yeah, Linux Mint, or with Ubuntu, which was years ago, probably 8 years ago now that I first played with it. Ubuntu was the most Windows-like version of Linux that I saw as far as the graphical interface.
Yeah.
But it was still missing a few things. Like it was still, you had to do command line early on with Ubuntu mm-hmm. if you wanted to add a printer. Well, goodness, I don't want to open a command line to add a printer. Mm-hmm. I want to go into a control panel. Well, Linux Mint and then now current versions of Ubuntu provide you that same look and feel and similar names as you had in the Windows environment.
So is there a control panel, for instance?
Yes, there is. Oh, or basically add a printer. It's under utilities. Instead of control panel, utilities, add printer.
That makes sense.
Boom, boom. You know, I could stream movies that I get from my Ubuntu, and I can stream it to my Amazon Stick on my, you know, 49-inch TV.
Mm. So. Now, are there any drawbacks to it? would you think for people who are, because I'm imagining there are people out there saying, gee, I think I want that.
The drawback is only because it's open source, so you're at the mercy of whatever's on the community out there. If there's a problem, you just have to deal on open source community to get it resolved. But then again, the big benefit is free.
Free, and then it speeds up my computer that I've been running with a 8-year-old operating system like Linux Mint or
XP
Vista
or Vista
or XP.
You get new life out of a machine that's vintage.
Correct. Now I have run across a few instances where I've tried to install Linux Mint on an old XP system that was really old, like 2003 or something like that, and it just couldn't cut it.
You can only go so far back.
Yeah, you can only go so far back. But if I went to 2006, not a problem.
Now, there's a part of me that says, oh, no, there's all these people out there who have been writing us and saying, I don't want to go to Windows 10 or my machine, update me to Windows 10, that they're going to jump on this bandwagon.
No, there's the people out there. This is for the people out there that it still works. I'm going to use it. And but now I'm getting to the point where I can't, do stuff because, I'm getting not disk errors, but the Windows is damaged and I can't download. I lost my installation media. Mm-hmm. The hardware is perfectly fine.
Yeah, and that's there's an important issue there. We've talked about this before, Gary, that you actually can't use a computer long enough that a hard drive is going to age out. It's going to get, because it's spinning constantly, and you have those tiny little arms that are going across the platens.
Yeah, at some point, it's going to
It's mechanical.
Out, right? Right, that's right.
Right, so think of it as dog years. So if you've had it, for 8 years, instead of
you're
dog years.
You're borrowed time, right?
Yeah. parts are going to start wearing out. Its armatures are getting arthritic. Come on.
I'm getting arthritic, so I know that the machine is. That's an important point to keep in mind, too, folks. There's nothing magical about this. It's equipment. It's manual.
And I think a point to be made, what you were talking about, a bunch of people jumping on the bandwagon. These alternate operating systems are more for the hobbyist and for a person that's more of an advanced user that really understands what's going on. For most people, they need the commercial software because, number one, they need the support. They need something that's ease of use. And those sort of things come with the commercial software that you would get. So the Windows operating system, the Mac OS operating system, Microsoft Office and that sort of thing. But when you start to step out of that mold, you need to have a little bit more smarts to be able to handle it.
Well, not necessarily smarts. There are tons of YouTube videos out there. And the homepage on this Linux is up to the, brings you right up to the user forum where you could type questions.
That's right. And YouTube, once again, is our helper here.
Not only help you, fix that toaster, but how to install Linux.
All right,
toast,
folks.
I like toast.
The number again, 800-859-0957. We're looking forward to talking with you and giving you a helping hand. Thank you, by the way, to Mike Stetz. Thank you, Mike, for being our engineer here. And to Logan Stanifer, who is our producer. And just waiting to give you a friendly hello at 800-859-0957. We run into this occasionally in the summertime when people are kind of, the weather slows you down and you're just kind of, I don't know if I want to do anything. It's a Wednesday, Saturday afternoon. Well, if you have a problem with your computer, shame on you and you don't call, because this is an absolutely free service that can help you get some closure to those problems and get some help for you. And our lines are open right now, and typically happens is people wait until the end of the show and they pile up calls, and then we can't get to everybody. We'd love to take those calls starting right now. So give us a call at 800-859-0957, and remember our mantra, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Ed, we've had some people write in during the week as well, and asking for help. And what have been some of the themes that you've run into there?
Well, basically, it's a continuation of the last few weeks, is how can you stop Windows 10 from installing? But there's a second part to that.
Why would you want to?
Well, some people just do not want that, or it's attempted to install. We've had a couple emails where people said it attempted to install, the install failed, it went back to Windows 7, and then now it's bugging me again about reinstalling. And then that's when I brought up to them about Steve Gibson's Never 10 utility. And Never 10 is a utility that you can download. It's a utility that he wrote that'll prevent Windows 10 from installing and continuously notifying you of that. But one of our listeners brought up something that I completely forgot about, because I installed this on a spare computer just to see what the I have already upgraded most of my computers to Windows 10, so I had to dig up an old one.
Steve Gibson, by the way, is a security authority. We've had him on the air. Leo Laporte, one of our favorite podcasters, had him on. Has his own program.
Oh, yeah, now he has his own program. So one of the things I forgot about this is that it will search your Windows 7 or Windows 8 computer for Microsoft updates that have failed to install or if you're missing any updates. And so one of our listeners, after I told her about the Never 10 utility, she reminded me of this, and she basically said, oh, thank goodness, my computer is now receiving a year's worth of updates that it's never been able to install before.
Wow.
They've always failed. So here you have Steve Gibson that wrote the Never 10 utility to prevent Windows 10, but it also has the ability to scan your computer for existing updates independent of a failing Windows operating system that has stopped updating. And this can happen because of viruses, or it could happen to, you know, disk or corruption. But it's usually that phony antivirus software that goes on there that typically disables your Windows updates. So Never 10 has been used, it's a great utility to use if your computer's failed to receive updates. It'll update your computer and potentially fix the problem. And that might be the reason why their computers would not update to Windows 10 is because there was a part of the operating system that was damaged. And then this is one of the things I ran into.
You know, Gary said, why wouldn't you want to do that update to 10? Maybe I don't fully understand the process, but if I'm not ready to make the investment in software to be compatible with it, maybe I'm still running Microsoft Office, I don't know, 97. If I'm not ready to do that, then I may not want to get 10 until I'm, available to do that.
Well, you can run Office 2007 on Windows 10.
Well,
but unfortunately, what you have to do is if you're running Windows 7, you don't upgrade it. I think it's a erase, and then it copies your data, and then
a wipe and a clean install.
Right. But I'm not sure if your applications come back from Windows 7, so you might have to reinstall your Office application with the media that was provided.
Yeah. So in that particular case, I may want to stall it until I got all my ducks in a row before I do it.
Most of the things I've seen in terms of our listeners getting in touch with us, and what I've heard too, is people are kind of outraged that this will be done automatically without their permission, or, I came home from vacation and it had done this to me.
They feel like it's being forced on them as opposed to them having choice. And in America, we want to choose.
Oh, my goodness. My wife went off on me personally as if I was a Microsoft representative.
Yeah, it was your fault.
It was
It always
fault.
Is your fault.
And that's when we discovered about, and after I did research, by clicking up the X at the top right-hand corner, it's basically not going to do anything. If you scroll down to the bottom and actually gave the installation date, and then you can either accept, decline, or postpone. And because we've all been used to hitting that X, meaning just get out of my face.
Go away.
No. Microsoft didn't acknowledge that. You had to say accept, postpone, decline. So, she was upset. But the good news is that she's actually using the interface and learning to use it, starting to like how it's how it organizes her videos and pictures. Yeah, there's some cool things.
What did
about
she
this.
Do? Punish you by making you use a Mac or something?
Oh, like it was worse.
Not even sleeping on the couch would do that. One of the things I have found with Ginny's computer now, she has a little HP laptop with touchscreen, and this is a consistent thing. See if you guys can help me with this. Ginny, by the way, is my wife. Is that she will open the computer up and get on and start using it, and suddenly it won't connect to the Wi-Fi when she gets into the browser and she's trying to get to her email, for instance. And she uses the online browser to do that. It just won't connect. There's always some sort of a problem. And inevitably, I'll say, honey, just close the app and just close the window and let's just reboot. We reboot, and almost inevitably, there are updates that haven't been installed. Why is that?
Well, I was going to go with one thing.
Go ahead.
But you're right. It seems like some updates in the last several months that I've received from Microsoft has disabled my wireless network, and I'm forced to do a reboot. And this just isn't here. At our corporate network, or in our corporate environment that I work in, sometimes we get security updates that, and all of a sudden your networking stops. And yet the updates don't apply until the next time you reboot. So, I mean, that's the first thing we say is, have you tried shutting down your computer and rebooting? Because for some reason, an Internet Explorer or a Microsoft security update has somehow disabled your wireless.
Is it because there's maybe a pseudo DDoS attack where it's saying, I want to attempt to download, and it keeps
hammering
that
away
instead of allowing you to fulfill a request from, you know, a menu click?
You know, I don't know.
What strikes me as maddening is I thought this is all supposed to be done. Like, I used to think, okay, updates will be scheduled for 3 a.m. because I'm not going to be on the computer at 3 a.m. normally. And for some reason, it seems to be constantly intervening then.
In the middle of the day when you're using it.
In the middle of the day, yeah, when she wants to use it.
Probably because at 3 a.m. it says, yeah, updates at 3 a.m. I'm going to go and get the, you can bring them to me, give them to me. But I'm not going to apply them at 3 a.m. I'm just going to download them at 3 a.m.
So, Cal, if someone was the was to say that when their computer came out of sleep and then it powered up and then sometimes the networking works and it does not, what's the first thing you would do?
A lot of times, the first thing that comes to mind is, number one, if you're coming home, let's say, with your laptop and it's in sleep mode, if you open it up, you need to wait a significant amount of time. And I say a significant amount of time is at least 30 seconds to a minute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God forbid.
Yeah, I know. In this society nowadays, a minute is so long. But you need to wait about a minute or so that the machine can wake up and say, okay, I'm going to get the operating system going because someone just opened my lid. Let me go start that up. And, oh, they want wireless? Okay, let me go find that wireless interface and connect to that. Then you can start opening up applications and connecting to stuff like that.
Okay, if that wasn't it, wasn't where I was going. I would think 30 seconds would be enough.
Okay.
What's the next thing you would do?
Oh.
If you had a computer, I was going for drivers. I would go to the manufacturer's website and see if they've provided an updated wireless networking driver because they inevitably... Oh. Now, I know you're a Mac user and those just work.
Well, so, no, but yeah, you have to do updates on that as well. You have to do updates on Macs as well.
Okay. But they're always provided by the same location. They receive them in the background, right?
Well, software update will do that, but you can force them sometimes, or you can have them done in the background, but they still have to be applied in some cases.
In our work, we go to the Dell website or HP's website or whoever, Lenovo, and we'll check. And I swear, every 3 months for the first year of production of a product being released, there is a wireless network driver update to fix some glitch, and usually has to do with sleep mode. So
I'm wondering if with Windows 10, if there aren't more of them. And because of being a relatively new system.
I don't think it's so much Windows 10 as it is the manufacturer.
Back in just a moment. Start taking your calls. Hi, this is Foster Brown. And in studio, Gary Baker, Edward L. and Cal Carson standing by to answer your questions at 800-859-0957. Oh, we're going to continue our conversation in here, which has been an interesting one this afternoon.
Yeah.
But I remind you, we've got about 25 minutes left. And if you've got a question out there you're just sitting on, shame on you. Give us a call. Doesn't matter what the question is, big or small, we'll be more than happy to tackle it with you. And please don't wait till the very, very end. And there's somebody calling right now. That's good.
Thank you. Yes.
There you go. 800-859-0957.
We run this thing just like Chicago. Phone early, phone often.
There you go. So I'm going to go to Alex Jarzembowski's graduation party after the show. And he is, for the second year in a row, an All-American lacrosse player out of Detroit Catholic Central.
Wonderful.
The same team that my son played on. They played for the state championship for the third year in a row, as I mentioned last hour, and lost for the third year in a row to Brother Rice, who's a wonderful state powerhouse, right?
Absolutely.
But it's interesting. They have 8 All-Americans on that team.
Wow.
We have 1 All-American on Detroit Catholic Central, and they lost by 2 points, 10-8. So.
Quite a battle.
It was. It's fun, and congratulations to all of the team for doing such a great job against.
And Alex, congratulations to you in particular for an outstanding year of play at Detroit Catholic Central and the lacrosse team.
And for all the people that are at Alex Jarzembowski's graduation party, please save me some cake.
Mr. Baker is on his way. All right, we do have some folks who are out there. Let's say hello to John is with us from Ida. Hey, John, how are you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, thank you. I'm doing really good.
What can we help you with?
I've got a laptop, and I keep having the problem that when I try to get onto the internet, it says that there's no internet connection. But I can get on occasionally, but more and often it keeps telling me there's no internet connection and I can't connect.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the computer that you're using.
I really don't know much about computers. Well, it's an older laptop.
It's an older laptop, okay. And what operating system is it running? Is like Windows 7, do you think?
Yeah, it's Windows.
It's Windows, okay.
I'm not that literate with a computer.
No, that's okay.
That's fine.
That's fine.
That's what I'm calling.
Well, that's all right. So, and when did this start happening?
About 6 months ago, I guess.
Okay. And so does it happen regularly, or is it kind of periodically this happens?
It's regularly.
Okay. So okay.
And now who pays for the wireless? Is this with your internet service provider?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you've already typed in your wireless access point and password, so you know that's good.
Yes.
So some laptops actually have a wireless switch that turns it on and off
as
a power saver, depending on what generation laptop. So like even... Lenovo's and Toshiba's and Dell's have a switch on there that turns off the wireless network.
On the older models. Right.
I mean, it would be inevitably that someone would grab the laptop out of their carrying case and they touch that switch. And I'd have to say to them, is that switch on the right-hand side, is that red or green? That's a possibility.
Also, I think one of the things that Ed was talking about earlier today, too, you may need to run your updates. There might be a new driver you might need for your wireless on that laptop as well.
Well, see, when you unfortunately, this is the Windows environment. So if you just try to do an update, you're only going to get a Microsoft update on the wireless network adapter. So what you can try to do is find out who the manufacturer is, if it's an HP, a Dell, a Lenovo, an Acer, and go to that website, manufacturer's website, and then see... And then type in your model number or serial number, because a lot of them let you search
and you'll find
on
that,
your serial number.
You'll find that on the back of your laptop, for instance.
Right.
You
with
should be itty able
bitty,
to find
itty bitty little writing.
Get a magnifying glass.
Use your smartphone to take a picture of that and then make it real big.
That's a very good
picture. Actually, okay.
That's what I do. Oh my gosh. That way I don't have to flip my computer upside down when I'm actually online and crack the screen. I've done that. So I take a picture before I go on the website.
They're smart.
Well, we're smart because we've made mistakes.
Yes.
Then you can go to the manufacturer's website and they may provide an update to your wireless network driver.
Yeah. Or they will check your drivers very often. No. They'll run a scan of your drivers.
No. Who does that?
On Dell. I've often, once you put the product number
Dell
in.
Dell is probably the only one. And HP does have an HP care package that does that as well. Yeah, that's true.
So if you put the serial number in, they're able to also check and say, okay, you should have these drivers. And very often they run a scan, or the ones that I've got.
I'm making a face at Foster. That's why he's making those hesitation. I would never let them install software on my computer to do that. Because they install this, this other extra stuff I don't want.
Yunk.
Well, if I can't get on at all right now, because like the past five times I've tried, I cannot get on. What is another thing I can try?
Well, you can hardwire it. You get hardwired, so usually most laptops have a physical network connection that looks like a large phone jack, and in the back of your cable modem provided or your DSL modem provided by the manufacturer, you could plug a networking cable directly. It usually provides two or four ports on the back of your cable.
That is right.
And very often it's a blue cable.
Right, just like the old desktops at work used to have. You could just plug that in there and get network access and do the updates. The other thing I've been successful at is because it's Windows, you said it was Windows 7, but what I usually do is go into Windows 7 Device Manager, and you can get there by going Start, and then in the search bar you can type in Device Manager, and it shows you a list of all the hardware that's in your computer, monitor, battery, mouse, keyboard, and one of them is Networks. You scroll down to the Networks. Now, this is what I do, and it seems to work all the time for me. And I sure hope it works for you if you do this. But I find the wireless network adapter in there. And it has various names, Wi-Fi, Broadcom, wireless. And I highlight it. So, just click on it once. Then I strike the big old delete key on my keyboard and I say, delete. And then it asks me, do you wish to delete the drivers for this? And I say, no. And then I reboot. And then Windows comes up and it says, we found new hardware. And it automatically loads the newly identified hardware, and it refreshes the drivers. And a lot of times with people with wireless network adapters that fail, if I delete it in Windows Device Manager, reboot the computer, Windows reloads it, And a lot of times that takes
care of it. When you said, if it says, do you really want to delete them? And you said, no, you actually mean yes.
No. When I delete the device, and it will delete the device, but if it wants, Windows will prompt you, do you wish to delete the software for this device?
I gotcha.
And I say, no.
You don't want to take the software out, but you want to delete the device.
Right.
Thank you for clarifying that. Okay.
Now, if you by mistake do delete the software, if I'm not mistaken,
it'll still find it.
It'll prompt and go back and look for it anyway. But do as Ed says, because it's well prescribed.
And then when you reboot, as you said, that's one way.
Yeah, and look for that switch on there. It could be a hotkey, it could be in the BIOS, but it really sounds like yours is just like stopped working. The other thing is proximity. So if you have a cordless phone, if you have a Bluetooth headset that you've, you know, didn't shut off and you put it on your desk and it's next to your computer, if you have other wireless devices, if you're making popcorn 24/7, it's going to interfere with your wireless networking adapter.
Yeah. All right, John.
Okay. All right, I'll try those. Thank you very much.
Take care. Thank you very much. I know I it was a mystery to me until I found out sometimes the switch can be up where the F keys are on the function keys.
Oh, yes.
It could be up there, or it could be on the side, and you could bump it that way. It could be any number of different places on these devices. All right, let's go to David in Traverse City. Hey, David, how you doing? In the Cherry Capital.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Certainly. What can we do for you?
I'd like to ask my question. I'll just listen to your answer off the radio. I just bought a computer. I'm running Windows 10, and I already have a printer, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm having problems printing. It used to be on the older versions of Windows, you could just, you know, right-click, and the print option would be in the drop-down list. But on Windows 10, you don't get that. And when I'm able to, like, if I bring something up as a preview to what I want to print out, mm-hmm. it's all over the page. It's not in order of how I want it printed out. Hmm. And I really can't figure out how to get it showing the proper way, you know, the proper format.
Okay, now, David, we're going to ask you some questions. So do hang on. Don't hang up yet, because we have some questions to ask you as well.
What type of printer is it? What's the manufacturer?
It's an HP.
And do you know
I believe the model is, oh, boy, I want to say 3200 or something like that.
Is it a newer one?
No, it's an older printer. But
okay.
Inkjet or laser?
David, is it inkjet or laser?
No, it's not a laser printer, no.
Okay.
It runs the gel ink. The gel ink cartridges.
Okay.
I think.
David, we're going to put you on hold because it sounds like we're beginning to lose you on a cell connection, and we'll see if we can get you offline as well and find out some more information so we can help you with this. I have heard of other people having problems with Windows 10 and printers.
After the update, yes,
and
you betcha.
We will talk about that in just a moment as we continue and with your question as well. Thanks so much for joining us today for the Internet Advisor, and thanks again to Mr. Mike Stets, who is our engineer and also the man who makes the program happen. Behind the glass, as we say, and Logan Stanifer, who is our producer as well. Thank you. Chase, down in Ohio, will be with you in just a merry moment. Don't forget, folks, that on Sunday night, usually kind of late, around midnight, I post the complete show notes and the audio for the program, and that is the complete podcast, all 2 hours kind of boiled down to 75 minutes. And the other thing is we break our program into segments so you can also hear certain parts of it, like Alan O'Shea talking about the Michigan Energy Fair that's coming up. You'll be able to listen to that specific place if you like, or listen to the second hour of the program as well. So that's all coming up on Sunday night. Go to internetadvisor.net and you'll find that there. Now, David, how you doing up there in Traverse City? Thank you for sticking around. Your problem was connecting a printer, an HP. We found out, by the way, it's a 3200 printer, right?
Yep.
Yes, I believe that's the model.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a PhotoSmart, because there's actually a LaserJet 3200. So it's actually a PhotoSmart 3200 all-in-one, I'm assuming. And you brought up a great point, and I ran into the same problem, is in Windows 10, one of the Internet Advisor crews, could not find Microsoft's control panel entry for devices and printers.
Oh,
so
Lord.
I just used the Cortana, or I right-mouse clicked on the new start window and selected search, and I typed in, either in Cortana or the search window, typed in devices and printers. And it sure enough, there was an icon that, you know, in the first search results, brings it up the control panel entry for what we all know is the control panel device and printer wizard. And then I actually created a shortcut that and put that on my desktop because I still can't find it in the control panel.
yeah.
So that really drove me batty.
Okay. And then also another problem I'm having is when I do want to print something, you know how you used to be able to select if you had a specific selection, if you didn't want to print the whole page out or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the number of pages.
Then,
you're right. The Windows...
Yeah, then you want to bring it up for a preview.
Yeah.
See what it's going to look like after it's printed. But when I do that, it comes up on the monitor, all the font, all the previews, all it's not in order. It's all over the page.
Really? You know, I'm not familiar with that. And I just can't visualize it. And I didn't bring a Windows 10 computer in here. So I don't know. A lot of the times, the customization window for a printer is based on the drivers, and it looks like HP is only providing up to Windows 7 drivers for that printer.
Hmm.
So was yours a Windows upgrade to Windows 10?
No, Windows 10 came on it when I bought the computer.
Excellent. He's
got a Windows 10 Lenovo desktop. It's about a year old.
Okay, great. And then... But the print was it? I don't know if
have
I can
you tried,
help you with
David.
That.
I'm curious. When you get a something you want to print, have you ever tried just doing a Control P?
No, I'm not really sure what that does.
Well, what it does is it will pop up that preview,
and
then you should be able to look in that and select whatever you want, the number of pages or range or whatever else it is there.
And a lot of time, what application are you printing from? Because the print preview is dependent upon what the application is. Like a print preview wizard would be different in a Microsoft product than it would be in an Adobe. So what are you print preview? Is it a web browser? Is it a...
I'm thinking that it is a web browser.
Oh.
So maybe if you had a different web browser, the print preview would be a little different. Print previews on web browsers has always been notoriously bad. So you might want to try the Edge... the integrated Microsoft Edge browser.
I think
browser,
that's what he's using to start with. Am I right, Dave?
What about like Firefox?
Or Firefox, yeah. I'm saying try an alternate browser and a different application.
Have you installed another browser besides the one that came with Windows 10?
Well, yes, I do have Firefox on it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's so I was just saying maybe try Google Chrome. Just try it. Try bringing up even a Microsoft Word document or Adobe
Adobe
Acrobat Reader.
Yes.
And see what the print preview looks like using that. Because I believe the print preview is based on the application and the driver.
In those two cases, absolutely.
Yeah, and the browser print preview is probably completely different.
But Dave, what we're going to do is we're going to send you to us by email, okay? So if you've got some more questions, give us an email at internetadvisors.net. And let us know more of the details. Try some of these things out and then get back to us. And during the week, we'll get back to you and see if we can give you a hand with a little bit more help. Okay. All right. Let's get to Chase down in Ohio. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Chase. Well, make sure you get on the air before we leave.
Thank you.
Okay. How can we help you?
Windows updates. Running Windows 7 Ultimate on a Lenovo laptop, Y480. And, I can't seem to do the updates. I tried a lot of different things, including that Microsoft Fix-It. No luck.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I used to do if Windows updates is usually because of either, and I said this earlier in the show, because of a file corruption or a possible you may have had an infection in the past, and it may have disabled your Windows updates. So what there's two methods I would use to do this. First, you can run a utility Microsoft has, or actually it's a command called system file check, and you enter it by going into the command line. So you go to the Windows 7 start menu, you open up a command window, which is underneath start, programs, accessories, there's a command window there, and then you type in the command SFC for system file check with a / scan now.
And I think I've tried that.
Okay, perfect. And if
By the way, I think isn't there some point you have to run as administrator for the command prompt?
Yeah, you may have to.
Mm-hmm.
And
usually,
I neglected to say that. But on a computer I worked on last week, what I did, and one of our callers reminded me of this, is we downloaded Steve Gibson's Never 10 utility, and Never 10 uses an alternate version of a Windows update. So it'll scan your computer for what updates are on there, and then if they're not there, it'll download them and then prompt you if you wish to install them. And Never 10 is a utility used to prohibit or stop Windows 10 from installing, but heck, if it will actually...
If it works,
why not? Right. And it may actually correct your problem by...
How do you get that? How does one get that?
Well, do you remember the link on the Internet Advisor website? We have it, and I'm looking for Steve Gibson's website right now. But if you go to the Internet Advisor,
grc.com.
Oh, grc.com/never10. I believe
G as in George, R as in Robert, C as in Charles.
Slash. I'm looking for it. I can't type and talk. I lost
George Robert Charles .com.
.com. Okay.
Never.
All right.
Never
I'll try that out. Just out of curiosity, that scan now thing, what does that actually do? Does that put the thing back the way it should have been with the...
What that does is that basically it's a Microsoft utility that'll scan every Microsoft Windows file, not necessarily programs, but files, and checks the certificate on there to make sure that it's a Microsoft file, that the file size is right, and that it's legitimate. And if it's damaged or corrupted or been replaced by a virus or possibly even disabled, it'll actually reload or replace that file with a known good one.
I don't want to take too much time on the air, but
that's right. I tell you what, because we have now run out of time. Let's do this, Chase. Give us an email, okay, at internetadvisors.net, and send it to Ed Riddell, and or just his attention, and we'll follow up a little further with that. Okay,
thanks.
Ed Riddell. You'll find that again. Go to internetadvisor.net send us an email there, okay? Thanks so much, Chase, for being with us. And Steve, hang on the phone. We'll get to you after the program and see if we can help you out as well. Thanks so much, folks, for being with us. And once again, remember that when you join us for the Internet Advisor, especially in our second hour, call early so we can get everybody in on time with the program. Cal and Gary and Ed, thanks so much for being with us. And Mike Stetz and Logan Standifer, thank you for making the program happen. Don't forget, on Sunday night, if you go to internetadvisor.net, I will post the entire podcast and all the show notes here. Have a great week. See you next weekend on the Internet Advisor.